righteous people in the sight of God. And there's so much in my heart today. I want to say the greatest gift God's ever given me besides his son Jesus is sitting in the room, and that's my precious wife. And we are celebrating. Let's go ahead and stand up, Sheila. We're celebrating this month, two anniversaries. On July 9th, we celebrated 43 years together. And then on July 20th, we have our most important anniversary. And that's because on January 20th, 1976, when I was 16 and she was 15, and I asked her to be my girlfriend, and she said yes, I said, I'm going to honor your yes on this day for as long as we're together. And this month, we'll celebrate 594 months together. And baby, what'd you say? 51 years total. We're not even that old. Okay. You're like getting it on up there. I would say 43. Yeah, go on. We've been together 51 years. And so anyway, I know, again, thank you for clapping, but here's what I'm going to tell you. Whether you care about that or not, you should care that relationships done God's way are the best relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you for being here. Also, just real quick, I have some actual functioning kings in my life. Here's what the Bible says in Revelations 1:6. This is one of the revelations. In fact, if you open the book of Revelation, the first verse of Revelation 1 says, this is the Apocalypsos Christos in the Greek. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which will come to pass for those who hear these words and believe them. By the time we get to verse 5, the Bible says that Jesus was the firstborn among the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Didn't say he was the ruler of believers, didn't say he was ruler of Christians, but the ruler of the kings of the earth. So about 30 years ago, I started asking this question in the body of Christ. If he's the ruler of the kings of the earth, where are the kings? Where are the kings? So you get to verse 6, and here's what John the Revelator said. To him who loved us, everybody say, thank you, Jesus. And washed us, everybody say, thank you, Jesus. So most of us get that part of it. To him who loved us and washed us, but they don't get the third part of this scripture. And made us to be kings and priests, to him be glory and dominion forever. So for the last 25 years, we started our church January 25 years ago in the year 2000. And I've actually feel like that God's given me a mandate to raise up millionaires and multimillionaires for the kingdom of God and some billionaires. We haven't got any billionaires yet, but I've got about 70 or 80 more years to make that happen, to help raise those people up for the glory of God. But we have raised up some millionaires and multimillionaires to be kings and queens in the kingdom. And some of the most special people in our lives are here with us today. When I met Josh and Amy too, he would tell this story better than I would. He had $60 in his pocket. Today, he's a multimillionaire. Today we get to do business together, kingdom business together. And when I was coming to one of my favorite places, I said, I want y'all to come with me. And so this is King Josh and Queen Amy. Would y'all just give them a hand? He's a funder for the kingdom of God. Amen. So I'm talking to some kings and queens today. I said, I'm talking to some kings and queens today. And so God's going to bring us some revelation. But thank you, Josh and Amy, for being here today. And just such a joy again to be in this house and to get to be with you. I just trust that you'll receive this word in the spirit that I'm going to give it, because what a lot of people do not know is that 35 to 40% across the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and I have to stop and just say this real quick and then I'll finish my statement. When we were dating and I was 16 and she was 15, she set the Bible between us. She said, listen, here's what I want you to know. If you're going to come over to this side, you got to come over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it just really stuck with me. But anyway, in the Gospels, what you have is 35 to 40% of Jesus' teachings were taught in parables. It wasn't just a scripture. It wasn't just, he taught in parables. He told his disciples in Mark 4:11, he said, it's been given to you to know the mysterion in the Greek, the mysteries of the kingdom. Today I'm going to unlock a mystery here for you, and I'm going to promise you up front, based on the 7,487 promises from God to us in the Bible, that today your life is going to change forever in Jesus' name. I'm just going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. So what is a parable? A parable in the Bible is a short, simple story or metaphor that Jesus used to convey a spiritual and moral truth. It was drawn from everyday life. He would tell a story about a farmer. He would tell a story about a shepherd, or he would use these analogies and parables. A parable from a biblical perspective is a story or a saying that conveys a spiritual truth through familiar imagery. In fact, there are 37 different parables in the Bible that Jesus specifically taught on. And again, about one out of every three things that Jesus taught, almost two out of every three things, were in a parable form. It was to help people connect the dots of what God was saying. So today, I wanted to do my best to not tell you a parable, but show you a parable. And I'm going to show you the parable, and then I'm going to come back and tell you how God changed my life through this parable, and how today is going to change your life through this parable. In 1969, Mel Fisher began the search for the Nuestra Senora de Atocha, a Spanish treasure galleon ship that sank off the coast of the Florida Keys in 1622. It became a 16-year adventure that included financial hardship, tragic loss, and triumph. Each day, Mel began the day by saying this, today's the day. Today's the day. So I want you to practice this with me. We're just going to practice it one time. I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to say, today's the day. One, two, three, today's the day. So every day, he was pursuing this dream. Every day, he was believing, and he would start the day by saying, today's the day. The search for the Atocha is more than one man's journey. Mel's wife, his children, his friends, investors, and even his community was involved in the quest. Years of underwater exploration were matched by years of archival research. Success was met with costly court cases, while the loss of loved ones along the way tempered the gain of any treasure or the fulfillment of any dream that he would ever have. The story of the Atocha is a story of treasure and tragedy. 265 people were lost at sea. The ambition of a nation was irrevocably changed, and its plundered riches lay buried on the ocean floor for almost 400 years until one man said, today's the day. I want you to watch this.
On any given day, ships plying the Straits of Florida carry cargo worth a mere fraction of the treasure that sank beneath the waves. Scattered across the seabed are the wrecks of thousands of Spanish galleons and an untold fortune in gold.
There is a continuing hunt for treasure, particularly in the Caribbean, but elsewhere, for the wreckage of some of those ships where there will be gold coins and possibly gold bars on those ships.
The great Florida treasure hunt was inspired by the greatest treasure tale of all time, Treasure Island, a book that left its mark on an Indiana boy named Mel Fisher.
He was interested in treasure hunting all his life, even from when he was a little kid. And it was just something he always dreamed about doing and wanted to do.
When Mel grew up and moved to the Golden State of California, he went prospecting.
He had a dive shop out in California, and he used to save all his money and go treasure hunting for a hobby. And then his hobby, the vacations, treasure hunting, kept getting longer and longer. And finally, in the early 60s, he decided to go full-time treasure hunting.
Fisher's prize was a fleet of Spanish galleons that sank off the coast of Florida in 1715. He sold his business, packed up his wife and children, moved to Florida, and held his breath.
He and six other people all agreed to work for 1 year without pay and see if they could find the treasure.
Fisher's team swept 120,000 miles of ocean floor with a metal detector called a magnetometer. It can pick up a cannon, an anchor, or gold.
On a 360th day, 5 days before their deal was up, they dug a hole and it was full of gold doubloons.
That day, they brought up $50,000 worth of gold. Fisher was hooked. 2 years later, he began combing the Florida Keys for an even greater prize. The Spanish galleon Atocha, flagship of a 17th century treasure fleet bound for Spain.
They would gather up treasure from South America, Central America, and North America, and they would take it on smaller fleets to Havana, Cuba. That was like their hub. And there all the ships would meet up and they would form a large fleet and sail back to Spain, taking this tremendous flow of wealth. This flow of wealth continued for over 300 years.
Scores of treasure ships fell prey to swashbuckling privateers like Sir Francis Drake and Sir Walter Raleigh.
It was those gold coins that Drake and Raleigh and the other people were in pursuit of 400 years ago.
But the greatest threat to the treasure fleets wasn't marauding pirates. It was weather. When the Atocha set sail in August of 1622, hurricane season had already begun.
One day after they left Havana, they got caught in a hurricane, and the admiral ordered the fleet to sail west, thinking that they could sail out past the Florida Keys and ride out the storm in the Gulf of Mexico. And the fleets, the ships that followed the admiral, all sank and perished. And the ships that disobeyed the admiral all survived.
More than 500 souls perished in the storm. Among the doomed ships was the one with the most gold, the Atocha.
Each of these shipments of gold from South America to Spain, they were all big, big shipments with large quantities of gold relative to the amount that was available in the world. And if for some reason they didn't arrive, armies would not get paid, armies would not get fed. It was extremely important to Spain.
There had not been a shipment of treasure to Spain for 4 years, and the king desperately needed this money to keep control of Europe. And when the Atocha sank, it was a devastating blow to the economy.
In 1970, Mel Fisher set out to find the Atocha.
Well, he read about the Atocha in Potter's Treasure Diver's Guide, and it had 4 stars next to it, meaning it had a lot of treasure on it. We knew there was 47 tons of gold and silver out there waiting for us. And then the research told us where it was, approximately, but it gave us a starting point.
The starting point was the Upper Florida Keys, but the search led nowhere. 4 years later, the pivotal clue emerged across the Atlantic among dusty archives in Seville. A researcher scouring old salvage records discovered Fisher was looking in the wrong place.
He spent 3 years looking up in the Upper Florida Keys and the Matacumbes, 100 miles in the wrong direction. It turned out that Potter had some bad research.
Fisher shifted his base to Key West and started over. Long on hope and short on money, he herded his family onto a leaky houseboat. He battled bill collectors and rival salvagers. He sold off minor treasures he'd found to keep searching for the treasure that eluded him. Yet Fisher never lost faith. Each morning he announced to his crew, "Today's the day." For 16 years, Fisher relentlessly pursued the Atosha, a search that would exact a terrible price.
In 1975, one of the salvage boats capsized, and my brother and his wife and another diver were trapped inside and drowned. And, we thought about giving it up, but then we decided that Dirk would want us to continue, and it actually increased our determination. We were going to find it for Dirk. And it was 10 years to the day from the accident that we found it. So I kind of think he was up there helping us, you know.
On July 19th, 1985, as always, Mel Fisher announced, "Today's the day." Using magnetometers and sonar, his sons Kim and Kane spent the day scouring the seabed for signs of the Atosha. That afternoon, Kane announced he'd found something.
He called me on the radio and said that this one hit we had marked had barrel hoops sticking up out of the mud. The barrel hoops are the metal straps that hold the water barrels together. And so that was very exciting.
As the sun began to set, Kane Fisher went back down for a closer look.
And he dug a hole, and the hole was full of barrel hoops and pieces of eight, like the silver coin I'm wearing, and copper ingots. There was 20 tons of copper on board the Atosha. So it started getting pretty exciting. And we moved the boat a little bit and dug another hole, and there was less stuff. And we moved again, and there was less stuff. And so we're starting to wonder if it was just another tease, you know. We'd had been teased several times by the Atosha.
As night fell, the brothers were forced to stop searching. The next morning, they moved the boat again and dug another hole. This time, they hit the mother lode.
The first reaction was, now what do I do? Because I'd spent most of my life looking for this one wreck, and now all of a sudden, there it was. Well, that didn't last too long, because finding it was hard, but once you find it, then the work really starts.
In all, the Fishers retrieved, cleaned, and cataloged a quarter of a million artifacts. Silver bars, gold ingots, and yards of gold chain. The value of the Atosha's cargo is estimated at $500 million. It made Mel Fisher the richest treasure hunter in the world and made governments greedy.
The state of Florida and the federal government both claimed ownership to the Atosha. And my father offered them 35%, and they said no, they wanted it all. So we went to court for 8 years, and it went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and they said finders keepers. So we got it all.
Mel Fisher went back to sea in search of more treasure. In 1998, at age 76, he died of cancer.
Dad was a treasure hunter, from the day one. And he did it till the day he died. And he died a happy man. I can't think of anything else I'd rather do. I'll be doing this until I die.
So I was at my home in Frisco, Texas, and the phone rang. And on the other end of the phone was a man that I'd never talked to, a man I'd never met, but a man whose name I knew was a billionaire. And he said, "Is this Keith Kraft?" I said, "Yes, sir, it is." He told me his name. He said, "I want to learn about the kingdom. And I want some of my billionaire friends to learn about the kingdom." And he said, "So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to come to Florida, and I want you to get on my yacht. And we're literally going to sit at your feet and we're going to learn." He said, "How much would you charge me to do something like that?" And so you always got to know who you're talking to. So I said, "I'm going to leave that up to you." See, it's one thing for me to put a number on it. It's another thing for a billionaire to put a number on it. So I went down there, got on the yacht. We launched out of Fort Lauderdale. And here's what he said to his five friends that he invited. We're going to come and we're going to sit on the floor. And we're going to humble ourselves. And he's going to teach us about the kingdom. For the next 3 hours, that's what I did. I began to teach them about a God who sent his son Jesus, who loved us. A Jesus who washed us, but a Jesus who made us to function in the kingdom as kings and priests. Not function in the kingdom as good church going people. Not to function in the church as a part of the worship team. Not to function in the church as a part of the parking lot team. But here's what the Revelator said. The firstborn among the dead, that's the proof of who he is. And the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us. He didn't just love us and wash us so we could go to heaven. He loved us and washed us because he's made us to function in the earth as kings and priests for his glory and for his dominion. As I taught that, I took a pause and said, well, I've been going for about 3 hours because we were headed down to the Keys. I didn't even know where we were going. And he said, let's have some fun. And so they opened up the back of this yacht and pulled out boats and sea-doos and boats inside of boats. I mean, and we went and had fun. He goes, okay, we've only got about another hour. So let's get back on the boat and continue to teach us. So I taught all the way to the Florida Keys. That night we were having a meal at a beautiful restaurant. And as we were around a table, he said, tomorrow I've got a surprise for you guys. He said, tomorrow we're going to go to a museum. Well, I was sitting there and I didn't want to be disrespectful. But like I was there to have fun. I know going to a museum is fun for some people, but not my dream of when I'm in the Florida Keys. And so, and he looked at me and he said, you're really going to like it. We go into this museum. I turn the corner. Now this is about 15 years ago, so, and here's what I saw. Go ahead and show, is there another picture? Show the next slide. Today's the day. Once I turned the corner and I saw that, okay, you can take that picture off. That's hard for even me to look at. But anyway, once I saw that, the Lord spoke to me. And I asked the guys, this was in a room, I asked everybody to clear the room. I said, God's speaking to me. And I wrote something that I'm going to speak over your life today that's prophetic. And as you listen to these words, this is what God said. Somebody say, today's the day. Today's the day God has ordained for you. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Today's a reminder that yesterday is gone and tomorrow's out of sight. Today's the day where all wrongs will be made right. Today's the day to start again. Today's the day that you will win. No matter how many times you've lost in the past, God has a future for you that is bright and vast. It's time to look forward and go in the direction of your dreams, to do the impossible, no matter how hard it seems. Today's the day to keep doing what you know to do. Draw close to God. He's drawing close to you. Disappointments, rejection, fear, and a broken heart. God is going to use all those real life things to give you a brand new start. Today's the day to believe you can do all things through Christ who empowers you to fulfill his plan. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Today, walk by faith and don't be distracted by sight. Today's the day for your dreams to come true. Say it, Believe it. It is your Father's good pleasure to give His kingdom to you. Somebody say, today's the day. Come on. Today's the day. Come on. Somebody say, today's the day. I want to just focus on a couple of things. Because I want to tell you to do something. And that is get focused today on what it is that you want and that you're believing God for. Yes, yes. Get focused on what you want. This is a silly thing, but last night, thank you, Josh. Last night, my wife, she was like, we were in bed, we were winding down. And so she's rubbing my feet. I go, baby, you don't have to. One man clapped. Honey, did you hear that? Today's the day. That's what the Lord is saying. Anyway, so one man clapped on that one. All the other men were like, ooh, his wife was rubbing his feet, honey. Did you hear? Anyway, so she's rubbing my feet. And all of a sudden, she tickles me. That's one thing to have your feet rub me. All of a sudden, she starts tickling. I go, hey. And she looks at me, she goes, focus. Am I telling a true story? I said, is that what we're doing right now? Okay. So she starts tickling me and I was focused. Listen to me now. It didn't tickle anymore. She looked at me and she said, focus. And I said, is that what we're doing right now? And I shifted that quick. And I focused and she kept tickling. And she started laughing so hard. I said, you told me to focus, baby. You see, here's what happens. The enemy knows what he can use to try to distract you from what God is telling you. And it may not feel like a tickle. It may feel like pain. It may not feel like a tickle. It may feel like something that has gone totally wrong. And God said, stay focused. Stay focused. You see, here's what Jesus said. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Back in the day, it was an agrarian society, agriculture. They would drive a stake at the end of the field. Somebody say goal. They would drive a goal at the end of a field, a fallow field, a field that wasn't useful. And they would either take a sharp implement, either by a donkey or an oxen, or in most cases, just themselves. No man who looks to his left or looks to his right is fit for the kingdom of God. This is the analogy. This is the parable. Keep focused on the goal and don't let anything distract you. Yeah. Don't let anything distract you. So here's my challenge to you today. I don't have a lot of time. Get focused on what you want and what you're believing for. Yes. And then put a today's the day on it. Yeah. Get refocused. I'm just telling you, in a moment. She's rubbing my feet. She tickled. It hit me so hard. I went, whoa. She goes, focus. I went, well, that's what we're doing right now. You see, if you could hear the voice of the Lord right now, He'd say, get focused. What are you believing for? What's your dream? What looks like it's not going to happen? It has nothing to do with what's happening on the left, what's happening on the right, or what's happening in the scene. It has to do with what you're focused on. So now you heard the story, but you didn't really hear the story. This is the whole story. And on page 164, after 16 years of looking for treasure, after 16 years of finding one time $50,000. That was after the first year. Everybody quit. It was just him and his family. After 16 years, he lost two children in the process. After 16 years, he was still getting up every day saying, today's the day. No matter what was happening, today's the day. After 16 years, he was still believing. After 16 years, he was still focused on his goal. After 16 years, he was still focused on his dream. One day, in Vero Beach, Dio, Mel's wife, said, you know, it's not really working like we thought it was going to work. I think it's time we go to church. They started attending a new Methodist church, which was under construction. Meetings were held in the gymnasium of a local high school. Mel and Dio were attending a Bible study class. It was all new to them. And on their first day there, they met a man named Eugene Lyon. Gene had previously been a city manager. Then he taught history at a local community college. His wife, Dot, worked at Forest Pierce Library. Both Gene and Dot helped start this church. Gene had decided to go back into the educational system a few years before for graduate work in Latin American history. At the University of Florida, he got his doctorate when he learned to read old Spanish archaic script. For 16 years, Mel had a stack of books that he got while he was in Spain that were maps of where treasure was, but he couldn't read it. His first day he went to church, his first day he went into a Bible class, he met a man by the name of Dr. Eugene Lyon that just happened to have his special doctorate in language, reading old Spanish script. They went to have coffee and donuts. And Gene said to Mel, I can translate all your books. Within minutes, Mel had Gene sitting in the front of his house and a stack of old Spanish shipwreck books in front of him. With a glint in Gene's eyes, he picked up one and began to read it fluidly. And the more he read, he said, I can't believe how many tons of gold and silver are in these ships. To make a long story short, here's what happened. After one conversation, after going to church the first time, after being with the right people in the right place at the right time, 16 years was solved by a man he met in church, and they found the treasure. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but here's what I hear the Lord saying today to you. When I was deciding what to speak, I could speak on a lot of things. I thought, you know what? It's July 13th. This happened on July 20th, 1985. I'm believing in the next 7 days, I'm speaking this prophetically to you, that God is going to do some amazing things in your life that starts today. Listen, if you decide today's the day, I want you to put something with it. Today's the day for my healing. Today's the day for my breakthrough. Today's the day where my bills are going to get paid. Today's the day where God's going to do something that I can't make happen for myself. Come on, is anybody in here? Can you believe with me just for a minute? If God did it for Mel, God will do it for you. It doesn't matter what it is. Come on, y'all. Today is the day. Today's the day. You got to believe it. You got to speak it. Come on. You got to get focused. What are you believing Him for? Would you stand with me right now? Father, I pray all over this place that our faith would be stirred. Without faith, it's impossible to please you, God. Faith is not just when we believe for something, but belief becomes faith when we take action. So God, I pray today that every person here would say, today's the day, dot, 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 for this, for that, forever. And every day, everybody look up here at me, I'm going to challenge you to do what I do now every day. And that's to say, today's the day. Today's the day. So you know what I did? I'm out of time. But you know what I did? I had y'all a t-shirt made. Today's the day. That prophetic word is on the back of the t-shirt. I brought some today. I don't care if you buy a t-shirt. That's not it. I'm just saying, I'm wearing the message. You know why? Because this message is true and this message works. And I just declare over your life, today's the day. Would you bow your head just for a second? For you, what is it? What is it? What is it? Today's the day for what? Today's the day. What are you believing for? What hadn't happened for you? She had an issue of blood for 12 years. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, today would be the day. And through the crowd, she pushed, Luke 8 says, and she reached and she grabbed his garment. He turned around. And the Bible says, who touched me? What he really said is, who just believed? Who just reached up? And in a crowd of people, come on, who's going to reach up today and say, Lord, I believe. I believe today's the day. Doesn't matter how discouraged you've been. Doesn't matter what's gone wrong or what's gone right. Doesn't matter what the history's been. Doesn't matter what the doctor report said. What's your today's the day? What's your today's the day? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Today's the day for some of y'all just to get right. Say, I just need to get right with God. Today's your day. Would you just slip up your hand right now? You say, I need to get my life right with Jesus. Come on. Anybody here like that? I just need to get my life right with Jesus. That's it. God sees your hand. I just need to get my life right. Anybody else? Today's the day. Yes, sir. Today's the day. I need to get my life right.